Same for our kids. Same for anybody who has God living inside of them. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin which a man may do is outside of the body, but the one fornicating sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit living in you, which you have from God, and you are not of yourselves? You were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are of God. Let me just say this, just not to get this out of context. He's talking about fornication, but if you actually go to verse 13, he's also talking about eating incorrectly. Now, it's amazing when God puts fornication and gluttony together in the exact same sentence. And yet the church might get on the pole. The same person who's so overweight that you can obviously tell there's a spirit of gluttony loves to get on the pulpit and scream at the fornicator. I was saying this to bring condemnation, because you can have gluttony and be anorexic. Gluttony is where you are trying to get a need met through food that only God can meet. But what he's saying, when the enemy is in control of your eating, you need to go to God and get it dealt with. When the enemy is in control of your sexual life, you need to go to God and get it dealt with, so that you're not hurting the very temple that God lives in. The coolest part about this is God lives in there. He really, really does. And he will not put up with perverted spirits being joined with his spirit because of fornication. All right, now, where we're going to really start. 1 Corinthians 7. But concerning what you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of fornication, let each have his own wife, and let each have her own husband. To me, this is very clear New Testament teaching, one husband, one wife. Let the husband give due kindness to his wife, and likewise the wife to the husband. The wife does not have authority of her own body, but the husband does. But likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife. Do not deprive one another, unless by agreement for a time, so that you can fast and pray. But come together again, that Satan may not tempt you through your... The word it put here is I-N-C-O-N-T-I-N-E-N-C-E. Incontinence? What does that mean? Yeah, just because you can't control your passions. And so in other words, it's saying, look, this is really strong, this sexual thing. So wives, when you say no, 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 no to your husband, it's not really that they can blame you that they run to someone else or to pornography, but you're opening the way for the devil to tempt them. And husbands, if you keep saying no to her and not touching her and not holding her and not looking into her eyes and telling her how beautiful she is and not making her know she's loved, you're opening a way for the Satan to tempt her with another relationship or with romance novels or with this or that. So he's basically saying, look, respect that God has placed you together as a gift to one another. And once again, this is to Christians, and we're going to talk about all this a little bit. This is the part where everybody gets, oh. It's so sad what the enemy has done with this whole area. And let me say this. I don't see any survey in here that says that every couple is to have sex, if a guy wrote it, 5.9 times. I don't know what the 0.9 means, but per week. And if many women wrote it, you know, it's 2 times or whatever. Depending on how old, it might get to 2 times a month, or, you know, they may be newlyweds and it's 7 times a day, or, you know, I mean, it just changes on whose survey you're listening to. So that's not what this is about. This is really about when you really know that that person is desiring affection and that kind of intimacy. don't keep saying no as if it doesn't matter. Because you're really causing this person that you're married to, this is to Christians, that you love, to be tempted by the enemy. So don't do that. That's what it's talking about. This is not talking about a husband raping his wife and saying that he has all rights to do that. This is not talking about perverted sex and saying, I can do whatever I want with your body. This is not about a power struggle. This is about, you know, the Lord knows how easy it is to get busy. He knows how easy it is to get sidetracked. He knows how the devil starts talking to people when all that happens. And what Paul's saying here, you know, make intimacy a priority so that the enemy doesn't get in there and start to destroy the marriage. Now listen to me, he goes on, because I like this part. He goes, do not deprive one another unless by agreement for a time, that you may be free from fasting and prayer, and come together again on the same place that Satan may not tempt you through your lack of self-control. But I say this by permission, not by command. Now, I'm not positive he's talking about that part or the next part, but either way, Paul is kind of telling us here, look, there's not like a set rule for this. I'm just trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit here to help you to have healthy marriages and not give the enemy room to tempt. Now, Paul himself says, okay, I'm going to tell you something about this. I desire all men to be as me, which means he's celibate. So he's probably not the expert on teaching this. He's basically, first he just got done saying, it's kind of funny if you think about it, he just got done saying, look, ladies, if your husbands want, you know, to be intimate, be there for them. And same thing, you guys, with the ladies. You know, don't give the devil room to come in and destroy each other with this. But I don't get any of this. I wish you were all like me. I'm celibate. I mean, that's kind of what he's saying. And he's letting you know he didn't understand this all that well. So do not use these scriptures to try to force your wife to have sex with you. If your wife really doesn't want to be intimate with you, then get some ministry and deal with the deeper issues. Deal with the deep issues, because this is never supposed to be about lust. This is supposed to be about love. This is supposed to be about wanting to be together. And let's face it, in our culture, in our society, in the church, we need to go deeper with letting God heal those places. We need to get rid of the surveys and the percentages and the advice that comes from people who are totally motivated by lust instead of God's love. And what he's really talking about here is talk about this. Don't attack each other. Help each other get through some of the areas where the enemy's able to come in and bring lies. Let God begin to bring that healing. Work on that healing. Remember, we talked about submission. And we talked about submitting to the Lord. He never forces it. If you have to force it, then it's not love. But it's okay to say, hey, this is really hard for me. This is bothering me. You know, I really do love you. How can we work this out? How can we work in these areas? And, you know, we're not going to get into that a lot today, and the church is so hid behind all this stuff. Everybody's running to doctors who are, you know, giving you all kinds of medicines and all kinds of chemicals and stuff to make up for where you just won't seek the Lord. There also is such a thing as getting older. I mean, Abraham laughed, you know, with the whole Sarah getting pregnant thought. And I just say that because our society is crazy. I'm just saying, it's like it's all about lust and perversion and sex, you know. It's okay also, you know, if... Oh, she's going to get real right now. Watch out. I'm going to take off the glasses and look it up. You know, it's not so really supposed to be walking. You know, she's got the kids. She's doing the dishes. She's doing this and that. All she's been waiting for is the moment to have 5 seconds to herself. You didn't come in and help with the dishes. You didn't help with the kids. You didn't tell her she was pretty. You didn't make her feel loved. Finally, everything's calmed down. And you look at her with that look and wonder why she pulls the cover up over her head and trying to pretend she didn't see it. Everybody's getting really quiet. Maybe you haven't been able to get the grace from God to make her feel loved. Maybe those things that are hard for you to do, like bringing home flowers or candy or calling in the middle of the day and saying something nice, maybe that little flirting. I'm telling you, the little flirting stuff works because it doesn't throw a woman completely off guard that you haven't talked to her for 2 days. You smelled like a pig coming in after working on the yard, and you left all your dishes on the table and just went your own way. Not that my husband ever does any of this. He really doesn't for the most part. And then all of a sudden, she's all finally wanting to see this movie. She's been waiting all day to get everything calmed down to see. And then you come in and say one of your hey baby things. Or don't use those lines from movies that are so much about sex and not about love. But you know, ladies, we got to get sensitive too. You know, when you're getting dressed in the morning and I will say this guy. And so, men, I just encourage you, get free to love yourself. But then ask God. Jesus is very romantic. Read the Songs of Solomon. Oh my gosh, he's knocking at the door saying, honey, oh, I love you. And then he's brokenhearted when she's, you know, tired and going to sleep. But she starts thinking about him and thinking about, you know, he's left. And then she goes running after him. And then he receives her back to him. I mean, it's just this love story all over the place. I don't know where you walk with the Lord, but if you really begin to walk with the Lord deep, he just says nice things to you. I mean, I'll be driving along and the Lord will just say something like, you know, I just love this about you. And you're like, wow. And it just makes you think about him. It makes worship exciting. You just see him wanting you. And I've watched the Lord work that in my husband. I have an engineer husband, okay? He's not like Mr. Romance or anything. But the more he walks with God, the more romantic he's becoming. And the more I quit judging him and trying to make him feel like he has to be a certain way, and I begin to appreciate who he is and his way of saying he loves me, I'm recognizing God's putting on his heart my way for him to say he loves me.